So in today's passage, it talks about using the law properly. Properly. That really struck me of how do we use the law properly? First Timothy, verse 8. Again, we have Paul pouring into Timothy. Again, we have Paul trying to train up his prodigy. He's mentoring him. He's helping him. He says to him, "We know that the law is good if one uses it properly." That really struck me all week long. We know the law is good if one uses it properly. How do we use the law properly? Or how, for that matter, how do you use it improperly? And I think the key here is how do we use it improperly? So, I notice so much that we are so hard on ourselves. We're trying to follow every rule, every regulation. We're trying to be perfect when we can't be perfect. We're trying to be holy when we have the wrong definition of holy. We think holy means complete and 100% and that we are without mistakes. That's not what holy means. What holy means is simply that we've been set apart. We struggle with all these things we do, all these sins. We have a laundry list. I was talking the other night about it. We could take a piece of paper and roll it all the way out to the parking lot, and we could write on it all the different things that we could do wrong. And we would only be just getting started, right? We could take that sheet of paper and roll it down the block and keep on writing it. We'd actually run out of paper. But when you look at the Ten Commandments, when you look at the history of Israel, when you put it all in context, because that entire book, this entire Bible, has one message and one message only, right? Which is the gospel.
Jesus.
And when you look at it, when you look at the Ten Commandments, when you look at the guidelines, we talked about guardrails the other week, what God is really trying to, where is the guardrails? Where is that road? Where is he trying to direct us? Where does that road lead? Back to him. All the guardrails. Everything that he is showing us, all the directions, every way he is pointing us is heading in one place. Back to him. So how do we use the law properly? We use the law properly to get back to him. I think that's what he's trying to tell Timothy. He's trying to show Timothy that what you need to do is help people find me. What you need to do is not be hung up on all these different things, but instead just simply put your heart to me. I talk about David all the time. David was a train wreck. David was taken in by a woman, and then he wanted her, and it was somebody else's wife, and he took the guy and he put him on the front line, hoping that he would be killed on the front line because he had impregnated his wife. I mean, and this is a man who is after God's own heart. Was David perfect? Far from it. But David understood something. David had something. David had the same something that you and I have. This heart to please God. God said, he's a man after my own heart. Because God looks into our heart. He looks into our very mind, our soul, our intention. So how do we use the law properly? I think first and foremost, we cut ourselves a little break. We don't have to be so hard on ourselves. I swear, I come into these men's group and I come into these other meetings and I just want to hand everybody a stick. Here's your stick. Start beating yourself with it. Because that's what everybody wants, to just beat themselves up with a stick because we're not good enough. And I'm here to tell you, get over it, because we're not. We're not good enough, but we are made good enough. There's a huge difference when you put that word made in there. We are made righteous. We are made holy. Because it's all about Jesus making us over. It's like, you ever see those TV shows and those houses and they make them over? And I mean, they're a total wreck. You know, the wood's falling apart and the paint is chipping and the door's creaking and the place looks like, you know, a bomb went off. And then when they get done with it, they bring in their crew, and I think they do it like within 24 hours, and you walk in there, and it looks like a brand new model house has just been done, and there's brand new floors, new paint, new cabinets, and the whole place looks amazing. Like, you'd want to walk into that place, right? I live there now.
That's extreme makeover.
The extreme makeover. Thank you, Jan. So, that's what God's done. He's done an extreme makeover. So how we use the law properly is we look at ourselves with a little grace. We have a God who gives us grace. At the end of time, when we stand before God, it will be all about grace. It would be all about Jesus. It'd be one simple question. Do you know my son? Do you have Jesus in your heart? That's the only question God will have. And so doesn't it make sense that that's really the sin that he's really concerned about? And so if we want to look at the law and all the law, the prophets, Jesus says, you know, hey, you know what, guys? I'm going to sum it all up for you. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He says, if you do these two things, because they're trying to find out from him, like, which of the Ten Commandments is the best of the ten? And what they want to do, of course, we've talked about this before, they want to trick him. They want to trip him up so that they can go around and tell everybody, hey, Jesus said number 8's the best and the other 9 are no good, because they're trying to discredit him. You know, that's something we're learning right now, is the enemy likes to discredit. The enemy likes to take down our minds and distort reality. The enemy wants us to use the law improperly so that we get so tired of beating ourselves up that we finally give up. And God wants us to know one thing. You are my child and I love you. Is it really that simple? Yes, it is. It's that simple. That's what Paul is trying to show Timothy. That we have to use the word properly. And see, that's the whole key here. We can't just use a little tidbit, like one law, one rule, one regulation, and then get stuck on that one rule, or one law, one regulation. We have to use the entire word. From beginning to end, from the beginning when Genesis, God said, let there be light. And the Word came through, and the Word was Jesus. And God uses the Word. Colossians tells us that Jesus made everything. The Gospel of John tells us nothing was made that was ever made that wasn't made through Jesus. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the beginning of what Jesus does as he creates everything, because God creates everything through his Son. All the way up to the book of Revelation with the final battle, which, by the way, what we're learning right now as I'm going through it, is it's an ongoing battle. The battle's right now. We're in that battle. It's a continual battle. It's been a battle for decades and centuries. Thousands and thousands of years that battle has been raging. And how much longer, maybe thousands more, I really don't know. But regardless, there is Christ. And then there is the anti, which means against Christ. And there's been a lot of different variations of that throughout. So, as what I'm trying to say here, is even in the book of Revelation, we're only supposed to do one thing. The same thing we're supposed to do throughout the entire book, put our trust in Jesus. Fire and brimstone is raining down from the sky, and what are we supposed to do? Put our trust in Jesus. Maybe we'll be captured up in the sky, put our trust in Jesus. In our daily lives, in our daily struggles, as we go through things, what do we need to do? Put our trust in Jesus. So the way we use the law properly, I'm only going to stay on this one verse, is we use the law to bring us to Jesus. The law is there to show us all the things. It's really just a small sampling, like murder and lying and cheating and thievery. But you know that list is much, much longer of what people are capable of doing. So it's just a little snippet of what we can get ourselves into. But the first and foremost thing we do before we get ourselves into anything is it's in our mindset. And are we trying to please ourselves, or are we trying to please God? And isn't that the battle that's raging right now? Is it going to be about us? Is it going to be about what I want? Or is it going to be about God? Yeah. And so our task is simple. Our focus is on Jesus. And whenever we get into, and we will get into, wanting to take our stick and beat ourselves with it, we simply remember that Jesus has removed the stick. And we have an air stick. There's nothing there. There's nothing to beat ourselves with. It's been taken away. It was taken away on that cross. As we had communion today we reinforced. And sometimes we just need a little memory boost. We need just a little reminder. It says that, we're to do this so we remember what Jesus did. But I also believe as we do this, as we have communion, a manifestation occurs of Jesus in us. A reestablishment of what's already there of the Holy Spirit in us. A revelation of the understanding that God is ever present. I just think that we need a little reminder every now and then, or maybe a little more than now and then, that God is here and present. And even today, as we had this emergency, God was so present. As everyone came around Roman, as they gently laid him on the ground, and as they got a pillow for his head, as people start making phone calls and getting EMS here. And right now, as Debbie and Mike take Laura to the hospital, and even as we continue in our service, as David so wisely advised us, that we continue in prayer, our most powerful tool, because really, about using the law properly, being in the Word properly, talking with God properly, is simply acknowledging His presence and His power. And trusting Him. So that's it for today. Today, we're just simply going to trust Jesus in everything we do, everything we are. I believe that's one of the main messages that Paul has for his prodigy, Timothy. Hey, Timothy, I know who you are. I know your mom. I know your grandmother. I know you were destined for this. I know you've been ready for this all your life, to go out and help people discover God and discover Jesus. But hey, Timothy, I want you to know something. He actually tells him that the law is not made for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. And that one kind of threw me too. The law is not made for the righteous, but the unrighteous. And so if you put that together with the proper and improper, it's improper for the righteous to beat themselves up with the law. It's improper for the righteous who are right. Why are they righteous?
They're right.
They're right. Why are they righteous? What made them right?
Jesus.
Jesus made them right. So therefore they are righteous because Jesus is in them. So what he's saying here, and it was a bit of a puzzle, that the law isn't for the righteous. Because Jesus has already covered us with grace. But you're not supposed to be using it improperly, and when you use it improperly, it's because you're using it to condemn yourself. And how can you condemn yourself when you're already under grace? Now, should you convict yourself? Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit will take care of that. Every time we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, we should also be asking, dear Holy Spirit, convict us. And show us what we could do better. There was a psalm from David who I was just talking about. And he says, hey, Lord, just search my heart. We should be doing that every day. But not beating ourselves up over it. That's the difference. And I think this is going to be a long lesson for Timothy. It was a long lesson for Paul, if you think about it. Paul was Saul. He was going around. Look, Saul's another one. He's going around persecuting, killing Christians. And yet he is the one that writes three quarters of the New Testament. And he's the one that goes and plants more churches. He's the one that is telling everybody about Jesus. He actually says, you know what? I am the worst of the worst of the worst. Yeah, I got you guys beat on every level as far as, you know, being a sinner. But I am also under grace more than anyone. Because I have met Jesus and Jesus is one with me. So that is his message to Timothy right now. And that's his message to you. You have been made righteous. Trust in that. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that we have been made holy. We thank you that we're not perfect, but that we've been made holy. We thank you that we make mistakes, but you point them out. We thank you for the guardrails and the barriers you put in our life so that we don't go over the cliff or ram into a mountain. We thank you that you love us so much, you give us so much grace, that you really have boiled it down to one rule and one rule only. That we are to follow your Son. That we are to be like your Son. That we are to accept his grace and forgiveness for all that we do. That we are to be convicted, and we are to repent. We are to change. We are to transform. But we are not condemned. We are never condemned. We cannot be condemned when we're under grace. We thank you for that message from Paul to Timothy and that message today to us. We continue to lift up our dear brother, this pillar of this church, Roman. We love him with all of our heart, and we know you love him even more. And we continue to lift up Laura, as I know that she is concerned. So we ask for a reassurance for Laura and a reassurance for Roman. And we thank you that he's getting checked out right now. And we just lift up our brother right now, and we join together with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our very soul, and ask for you just to continue to give him your grace and your healing touch. We ask all of this through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord.